In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he was transfigured before them. Dear faithful, on the 6th of August, the Church celebrates the great feast of the Lord's Transfiguration. Today, on the second Sunday of Lent, the Church also asks us to contemplate the transfiguration of Jesus, when, in the presence of his closest apostles, Peter, James, and John, he allowed his glory to shine forth briefly through the veil of his flesh. We might think it is strange to have this gospel during Lent, a time when surely we should be contemplating the patience and suffering of Christ. But if we look closely, there are several reasons that the Church, in her wisdom, gives us this gospel today. We will notice that Jesus, within the cloud of his glory, is speaking to Moses and Elias, the two Old Testament figures who sum up in their persons the law and the prophets. Last Friday, Ember Friday, the liturgy explained the connection when it reminded us Moses fasted 40 days, Elias did the same, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself fulfilled a like number in his own holy fast. As soon as we hear these three mentioned together, we think of certain things for which they stand. Moses for the law, Elias for the prophets, Christ for the gospel. Even as on the Mount of the Transfiguration, these three appeared together. So, in the midst of our 40-day Lenten fast, the liturgy reminds us of the fast of these holy men of old. Moreover, the time has now come when all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets concerning me. As Christ said to the disciples after his resurrection, the Father's voice sounds forth from the cloud to confirm that the promises have not been fulfilled. Moses in the Old Testament had promised that in the time of the Messiah, the Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet of your nation and of your brethren like unto me. You shall listen to him. And now the Father announces, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. There is another significant point as well. Saint Luke, in his account of the Transfiguration, adds that with Jesus, Moses and Elias spoke of his decease that he should accomplish in Jerusalem. He was announcing to them that he was soon to endure his passion. Only in this way could the gates of heaven be opened. And this brings us to Peter, James, and John. Why were these three apostles present to witness the most singular miracle? Of all the apostles, Peter, James, and John formed a privileged inner circle. But more than that, the Transfiguration, the sight for a few fleeting moments of the glory of Jesus' soul shining forth through his human body, the Transfiguration was for them a consolation. Consolation given to prepare them for the trauma that in a short time was to push their faith, perhaps, to its breaking point. For these three apostles, soon thereafter, were the witnesses of another transfiguration. Not this time a transfiguration of glory, a transfiguration of light on Mount Tabor, but a transfiguration of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was Peter, John, and James who were present and who saw Jesus' appearance transformed by the sweat of blood. In our own spiritual lives too, the Lord, in his mercy, sometimes shows us a transfiguration before inviting us to accompany him on his agony in the garden. There is a special grace for beginners. In the early day that follow a new convert's reception in the church, in the happy time after a forgiven sinner leaves the confessional, in the first month or years of a marriage, in the happy early days of a vocation, the Lord often will send special consolations. We can call graces for beginners. Prayer seems easier and sweeter. There is much enthusiasm for God's glory and generosity in the service of others. But what Jesus desires more than anything is to draw us closer to him. The consolations, the sweet moments, the sweet persons he sometimes sends are a means to give us a taste for the spiritual life. They are not an end in themselves. Our love must be purified, and we must learn to attach ourselves not to the consolations of God, but to the God of consolations, said St. Francis de Sales. The same St. Francis de Sales reminds us, devotion does not consist in conscious sweetness and tender consolations, which move one to sigh and tears, and bring about a kind of agreeable, acceptable sense of self-satisfaction. True solid devotion, true solid spiritual life, consists in a firm, resolute, ready, active will, prepared to do whatsoever is acceptable to God. In the midst of consolations, we are tempted, like St. Peter, to want to build a tent, to stay put where things are comfy, agreeable, easy. But like him, we know that what we are not saying. We know not what we are saying because we want to bypass the cross. Dear faithful, this Lent is a time for us to give thanks to Jesus for the special favors, special graces, special consolations he may have given us, and to be courageous enough to accompany him also when he goes up to be crucified. If we love him in the Mount Tabor, we have to be ready to love him in Gethsemane to love him when he purifies us and not only when he comforts us. A special effort we can make this Lent is to practice the spiritual works of mercy, of forgiving injuries. Forgiving injuries and bearing patiently with inconveniences we experience. For the mortifications which we do not choose for ourselves are always even better than the ones we have chosen for ourselves. Celebrating Jesus' transfiguration early in Lent reminds us of what comes after the cross, because it reminds us of the glory of Jesus risen from the dead. So let us remember that being discouraged during Lent may be just the result of our human condition, or it may be the devil trying to lead us away from God and into despair. A bit of difficulty of good Lent, keeping a good Lent, is not unusual, because a victory without battle is not a victory. It is why we ask for God's help and we trust Him to give the graces that are necessary to win. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.